Hello, and welcome to Graveyard Dirt, a podcast about anything and everything witchy from a practitioner and non-practitioner's point of view. I'm Zoe, a witch.
I'm Andrew, an engineer.
And this is Graveyard Dirt.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of every episode, we go over a tarot card in no particular order. Andrew gives his interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give mine as a tarot reader.
Yeah, I will say, I've been getting pretty good at this.
You are.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Oh,
today's card is...
shiny.
That's because I couldn't find my original Rider-Waite-Smith deck, so this is the hollow version.
It is hollow.
The only thing that's different about it, though, is that it's shiny.
Oh, okay.
All the artwork is still traditional Rider-Waite-Smith.
Gotcha.
Okay, this is the Eight of Wands.
Yep.
And in a traditional Rider-Waite-Smith deck, you will see eight wands sailing through the air. They have little sprouts without them. And the sky is clear and there's a beautiful river below.
Hmm.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah. So, not only are there eight of them, they're all parallel and kind of slanted down into the right, which I'm sure means something. But I don't know what it means. But they're also kind of clumped together, like there's four and then two and then two. With the fourth one in the top cluster being a little bit shorter, which I'm sure means something. I don't know what it means, but it's obviously significant. Also, on the other side of the river, there's like a little, I'm going to say a fort or a fortress or like a castle on top of a hill that you can see clearly because they are slanted like that, which I'm sure means something again. I would have to guess that it means like something along the lines of prosperity, maybe, because they are growing and it does look like a nice lush background.
That's it. To me for help?
No.
Okay.
That's all I got.
So I was going to say, think what element would you consider wands?
Air.
Interesting.
Wood.
Interesting.
There's a lot of air. I mean, it's mostly just a blue background.
So with I will say that
eight parallel lines.
I personally have never questioned like the elements that correlate with each of the suits in tarot, but I did just recently hear in a class somebody bring up that it is something other people debate, and I was like, "What?"
So, what is the element of a wand?
A wand is connected to the fire element.
No.
Yeah, you burn sticks.
Because you cast fireball out of them?
No, you burnt like it's wood. It creates fire compared to the swords, which are air, which would make sense. Like it cuts through air.
Yeah, but the swords are made out of iron or steel. Wouldn't that be an earth?
No, earth is pentacles because that's like your work and your heart. Like that is your seed, your pentacle. Apparently, this person was saying that the only one that's really not like debated about are cups because obviously like cups hold water.
Right. Yeah, I get that one.
I've never questioned this before. I still don't.
Get ready to question.
No, it's not a question. Okay, so I think you picked out a lot of things in this card. I think you were looking really deep into it.
So what? A wand is a fire element?
Yes.
Oh my God, is it raining down fire?
Like creativity.
Okay, then.
Like passion.
These could be like meteors then. It looks like a meteor shower if these are fire. Right? They're like streaking through the air. It's like a Land Before Time situation.
Oh my God. So what's really cool about the Eight of Wands is that this card is more like face value compared to a lot of them.
Really? Because I'm not getting anything from it at face value.
So in an upright position, this would be like change, speed, hastiness, like thinking on your feet, and usually indicates like good news or news in general, like a message traveling as they like travel through the air.
Oh, right. You said they're flying through the air. They look static, right? Because it's on a card. Well, but I guess they're supposed to be like, moving, like javelining through the air.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely leaning into that meteor strike situation.
No,
on
this
that
is
one.
Like a
it
good
makes sense.
Upright is like really good. It's
yeah.
Like change and speed and that like good news coming towards you kind of a thing. And then of course in your reversed position.
Opposite. It's going away from you.
Kind of. I mean, it's slower. It's your lack of progress. Maybe you're feeling impatient or even it doesn't have to be the exact opposite. It could mean that you're being impulsive.
So what do you gather from that little house on the bluff back there? What does that mean to you?
So to me, like, the clear sky means that there's, like, nothing in the way. It's just, like, clear sailing. The river is, like, free-flowing emotion and just, like, again, it's just that clear sailing. Like, there's no blockages.
Okay.
And I don't know specifically that little
house
thing on the side. I'm just going to say...
It looks very nicely situated.
Yeah. And that, again, it has a clear view of this, like, wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, does the deck use similar, like, backdrops for a lot of their cards?
Yeah,
like,
you've
is
seen.
This, I know, but, like, tying everything together, is it always like, this is the castle and you're, like, looking at it from a different point of view a lot of times? Or is it different? Like, we looked at a garden before. Yeah, there's that castle in the background with the river. See, that's the person of V. What's that one? The cup.
That is your five of cups.
Five of cups.
I mean, so the tarot deck is a story.
That's what I meant. Okay.
So, and it progresses from your fool all the way down. So things are going to correlate. You couldn't line up the cards and be like, oh, look it, they all match up. But I think you're definitely, they're also all made by one artist, so you're gonna find things throughout each one. But it's the fool's journey.
Gotcha. Oh, tricky. So in Magic the Gathering,
okay,
when a new set comes out, they put out five different artworks for each of their land cards.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times you can, like, put them together and they make, like, a big image.
There are some tarot decks that have been created that, like, all of the kings put together, mm-hmm, create, like, one image.
Right. Yeah. Like a meeting of the kings. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Continuity. So what have we got next?
Okay. So... I'm actually really excited to talk about this. I mean, I'm excited every episode, but we're talking about not magic.
Not magic.
Like K-N-O-T.
Yes, like Piglet, when Piglet says, I cannot not.
I love Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
But yes, it's like my favorite scene. He's just got the little, he's like trying to, oh, it's too cute.
Mm, yes.
Is it Eeyore that's stuck in the hole?
I think it's a few people. I think Owl might actually be in the hole, too.
Owl is in the hole and sings a whole song and, like, flies out of the hole.
Yeah. No, but there's, like, a bunch down there because Piglet cuts the rope into little pieces so that,
yeah,
one for each person, and they realize it's too small, and they said, just tie it together. Tie it in a knot.
I cannot not.
Exactly.
Yes. Not magic.
Yes.
So, I'm just giddy.
Okay. So, how about we start at the beginning?
Okay. So, not magic is actually really rarely mentioned. I'm not really sure why. I'm going to guess probably because it isn't, like, super aesthetic.
Knots can look cool, especially if you get a nice rope.
They can look cool, but you have to think, like, a lot of witchcraft, especially now in, like, the day and age of social media, is looking at, like, the aesthetic and creating reels and Instagram and all of that stuff. It bogs things down a little bit. But if we look at not magic in comparison to, like, a candle spell, one looks prettier than the other.
But can't you do them together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Before you get going, isn't challah bread the bread that's, like, woven together?
You're getting ahead of yourself.
That's kind of like not magic.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Putting it together with, like, your baking, which, yes, you could also impart other ingredients.
You're ruining it.
Okay. Sorry. You can continue. Where were we?
So.
Not magic is not aesthetic enough for you.
No. Not aesthetic for me.
For the algorithm.
No. Like not magic. What I'm saying is you don't see it as often anymore.
I see.
It's not talked about. And it's kind of, I read this book once and it referred to not magic as, like, a throwaway because sometimes witches, like, aren't even thinking about it and they're not contributing, like, they're not thinking that it contributes to their magic. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So they have all these opportunities and they might even be doing that magic and not realizing it.
I got you.
And it just kind of like becomes like this back thought.
Yeah. No, I get that. Okay.
So we have cords, ropes, ribbons, knots.
Shoelaces.
Shoelaces, yes. But those can be used in like binding spells.
Okay, so knot magic is tying the knot rather than untying a knot. Because I feel like you could probably do it the other way around too.
Yes.
Like untying a knot to kind of like let something go. So, yeah. I think I'm catching on here.
You are.
Okay. So you got all these different things that you can tie. Does the material of what you're tying work into the spell?
Yeah, it can definitely work into the spell. And that's where you like your personal correspondences come in too. So it works a little differently. There's oils, herbs, crystals, etc. Those all radiate their own energy. And you pick those and you basically add those into your magic compared to like, and I guess it's kind of confusing because you can still do this kind of with those other items, but with knot magic, we're charging the cord or the rope with our own power and intention.
It's kind of like when you do a spell and you write something on a piece of paper and you fold it a very specific way and you're like putting that intention into it and you're kind of like manipulating it similarly.
Exactly. Okay. So knots lock up that energy and that like you're putting into it, and then it retains that energy and it's retains it as long as it stays tied compared to something like a charm bag or a spell bottle or those are probably my best examples where it'll kind of like dim over time and you'll have to recharge it. Knot magic, you're putting that magic into those knots and they stay there until you untie them.
Is there ever a reason to do some sort of knot magic with something that you intend to become untied naturally?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say a piece of grass or like a flower stem or something like that. Like, I don't know. I see you fiddling with stuff outside when we're like sitting outside. I'm sure you might not be doing knot magic, but like I see you tying things like, hey, that could make sense. Like you could impart the energy with the expectation that's going to be released naturally.
So there's a couple different ways you can do that. So you can make things that you that will naturally release over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also do things like spells where you would intentionally untie your knot to release that spell, either because it's completed or as part of the spell. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One more thing before we move on.
Sure.
Relating to that thing where you fold up the piece of paper with your intentions and usually light it on fire. Is there ever a reason that you would do your knot magic to bind something and then put it in the fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would release it.
That'd be cool.
There's a couple of different options. So that's sort of something like a binding spell or a cutting spell where you are releasing that tension. But then there's also something like herb bundles.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen those and they're held together and tied with like knots and strings. Mm. Why not put your magic into those? And that's where that kind of concept of how it becomes sort of this like throwaway magic that people don't realize that they have all these opportunities to use it for or might actually be using it and just don't realize.
Yeah. The more that I learn about this stuff, the more it seems interconnected or you have the ability to interconnect things. They're not just like separate.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then what's really cool is you can access this energy that you put into these knots anytime. Like, basically just touch your knot and there you go. You have it.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads into this other concept. Because there's also, like, meditative aspects to knot magic. Think of a rosary.
Yeah, I know. Okay. The things that people rub.
Yeah, exactly. But think about, like, what a traditional rosary would look like. It's
it's beads on a string.
So sometimes it's beads on a string. Sometimes they are knots. And when they are beads on a string, there's usually a knot in between each set of beads.
Hmm.
And a traditional rosary, I believe you would like say a prayer for each, a specific thing. Prayer for each bead. And then I think you switch to a different prayer when it's a different section in between that knot.
Huh. Thing. I've never owned a rosary. Nor been in a situation where one was present for that activity.
I definitely owned rosaries. I never understood why I couldn't wear it as a necklace. I was like, what do you mean you've given me this necklace and I can't wear it?
No.
They were like, no, it's a tool. And I was like, but it's a necklace.
Yes.
And they were like, you can't wear it. But then later in high school, I had a really big crush on this boy. And then he gave me a rosary bracelet as a gift. And I was like, I think we should just be friends.
Oh.
Which is terrible. Terrible looking back.
Oh, whatever.
But I think I still have the rosary, which is even more crazy.
That's weird.
It was really cool.
That's good for you, though.
It was like one of those, like, what do you call it? Do you remember those, like, sailor knot bracelets?
No, the, I'm not rope, a sailor.
They were, like, rope bracelets made from, like, you're giving me squinty eyes.
I feel like I remember, like, kids coming back from, like, spring break and they had a rope bracelet on, but I couldn't tell you what it looked like.
Okay, well, it was one of those. It was cool, and it was, like, blue and green.
Oh, you were very cool.
Shut up. Oh. Anyways. So there's a meditative aspect to knot magic.
Right. That makes sense. Especially if you use it like that, like rosary. Yeah.
And the knots reinforce the ideas and have certain like qualities and attributes to each of them because you're putting intention into each knot.
Hmm.
It also can be connected to numerology.
Because you count the knots?
You can. Why not?
For a spell, obviously.
So yeah. So say you put a specific number of knots into your
thing,
because your thing right now, because you want to imbue that aspect of it. So I don't know, to me the number 13 is lucky. Other people see it as unlucky.
That's a lot of knots.
Yes, it is. But so maybe you would put 13 knots into what you would traditionally see the most. With, like, the most knots, is something called a witch's ladder.
Okay.
Okay? And so it's actually, a witch's ladder was first mentioned in an article from the Folklore Journal, published in 1887.
1887. Wow, that's like, I can't even do that math right now. I mean, clearly over 100 years, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess 150, but that's probably wrong.
Math is not my strong suit.
Yeah, that's a lot of weird numbers for me to do math with, but long time ago.
Yes, and it was described as a piece of rope about 5 feet long, made with three strands and a loop at the end. And inserted within the rope are feathers, charms, and knots.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was used for protection, and people would often place them at like the entrance of their home. And sometimes people would bury them, usually like under a window or a threshold. Or you can turn it into a loop and place it on your altar.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's a witch's ladder?
That's a witch's ladder.
Cool.
And that's something that you're going to see like a ton of knots in compared to other things that you might see. Like, I don't know, I think the next thing that you would see the most knots in is similar to like a rosary or a meditative tool.
Mm-hmm.
Does
the type of knot hold different powers, or is it always just like whatever you want to do, like an overhand knot?
I mean, I feel like people are just gonna knot things, but I guess I'm sure that you could go like super deep into it and have specific knots for specific things because they'll like loosen at different abilities, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
Or you, what about like making a loop out of your thing? Like instead of it just being like a strand or like a string that's got your knots and then like. And then tie it together at the end.
Some people turn their witch's ladder into like a loop.
Like a flower crown.
Yeah, and that kind of like relates to the whole idea of like death, like the beginning into the end.
It's a cycle. Yeah, I gotcha. Cool. That's cool.
So you also have cuttings, like, why is my brain blanking?
I couldn't tell you.
I have the word ceremony in my head, but that's not what I'm thinking. But anyways, like the idea of cutting someone out or putting distance between yourself.
Oh, so you make a knot and you cut it out and then you throw that in the fire and then you tie your loop back together without that one?
So there's a couple different ways. One way is to have a piece of string. If it's long enough or flat enough or you have the ability to, you can write your name on one side and then the person that you're like creating this distance between on the other side, or just mentally assign one side to each person. And then you're going to go through your process. And essentially, the idea is that you're creating this cutting so that you're able to move on with your life and focus on like healthy relationships rather than like this toxic one is typically why you're doing it. And you will literally cut it in half.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense.
Burn the other half. Or
yeah, bury it. I like that. Throw it in the freezer.
Yeah. So one that you're going to see a lot on social media is where you have two candles that represent the different people, and then the cord wraps around the candles. And then through the process, they burn the candles, and that thus burns the rope and then separates the people.
Hmm. Okay.
That's one you're going to see a lot on social media, I feel like, because it's like, it's aesthetic.
I've never seen that on social media. Never in my life have I seen that on my social media.
Okay.
But I'm sure someone has.
Okay. So. Yeah. Other ways you may not expect not magic to be involved.
Bread.
Yes.
I already expected that one.
So I specifically noted weaving challah.
Yep. I'm good at this. I haven't even looked at your notes.
I know.
I just like bread.
Imagine, like, before a party, making a loaf and, like, weaving joy and, like, goodwill into your bread.
And yeah.
Feeding it to everybody. Love it.
Yeah. Trick them into being nice to each other.
I also just love bread. So, like.
Yeah.
That much better.
Absolutely.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah. With some fresh rosemary.
It can put your herbs for your chorus.
I already said that. We started off the podcast with that, I think, somewhere.
Probably.
But yeah, that would be a good one.
Exactly. So what's another one do you think?
Fishing. I was thinking about knotting your hair, but hair knots don't really stick well, do they?
So
and then what happens?
Form of a knot.
A braid.
There you go.
You braid your hair with there magic.
So braiding your
hair. I was actually thinking of dreads initially.
Yeah. So braiding your hair is actually a really common folk magic practice. Think Vikings.
And then you could tie a ribbon into it too.
Yes. Think Anakin.
Or feathers. I know him.
Yes.
Not personally.
And then yes, think about like dreads or locks or they have some other really awesome names. And braids can be powerful. Like there are more simple braids, but then you can also, like you just said, you can add colored strings, beads, tinsel, etc. Like you can do it up, which all adds extra correspondences.
Yeah.
And then you have the different types of braids, similar to like how you were asking about different types of knots.
Mm-hmm.
So think like tiny braids are really good for something
like small and tight, like,
or something
that would hold really well.
More stealthy about or like hidden. Except for anytime I see like a tiny braid just like hidden in the back, I can only think of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, but isn't that the only braid he had?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like when they become like not a Padawan. I don't know. There was like some.
I haven't read the books. I don't know.
Braid cut off.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But not with a lightsaber. Or was it with a lightsaber? I feel like that would be dangerous.
I don't know.
I would not want that. I cannot be a Jedi. I know that. Shoot.
So then you could also have French braids.
Yes, the French.
Those ones are really good that you could decorate with charms and do things. And they're just kind of like more, not pretty braids, but like dressy braids that it wouldn't seem out of the ordinary to like have a bunch of extra things in them.
Now, would an Italian folk magic practitioner be okay with French braids?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a style of braid.
I don't know braids that much.
Honestly, you can intermingle.
Yeah, sure.
That's the beauty of it. You call yourself a folk Italian folk practitioner, but you don't have to only practice
right.
Italian folk
magic. Yeah, you're probably actually French. I get it.
Go home.
Let me think. Some other ones. What about like, not really bonsai, but some people like weave their plants.
Yes.
money trees are traditionally seen in like a braided
weave. And a bamboo you can weave.
But it's actually really bad for the plant, and you're supposed to unweave them.
Yeah, but bamboo is just unruly.
Yeah, but I don't know about bamboo, but I know like the money trees that you buy usually in like a box store,
mm-hmm.
you are supposed to unweave them. And actually, if you repot it, you should also look at their roots because they tend to have strings wrapped around in their roots and everything.
Yeah, they do that.
Process.
I've got another one. Gardening, where you want to tie your plants up to a stake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You could use your knot magic there. And you can impart some, like, growth hormones or whatever. Growth hormone magic.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm full of them. All right, let me keep going. Spiders.
I got a good one for you. Sorry. A weird one for you.
Is it not spiders?
No.
I got a weird one for you, too.
In the Victorian era, infant mortality was really high.
It was very high.
Yes. And that's also when hair art became widespread.
Because
their hair was woven into the borders of like photographs.
The dead children?
Yeah. Or like dead people in general. Their hair was used and like woven in doing a weird twitchy thing.
Yeah, that's weird. But why? I mean, okay, so sure. They're not going to use it. Might as well.
Yeah. And like, I doubt those people were speaking any magical intent into their like art when they were weaving it around a photograph.
But it doesn't always have to be a magical intent.
It just has to be an intent. Just the awareness and the desire for that like physical connection with like the loved ones that have passed. That mm-hmm. is magic alone.
Yeah.
I got one more for you.
You want mine first or you want yours first?
You can do yours first.
Okay. So when a bunch of rats live in like a den and they get like really nasty and there's a lot of them, sometimes their tails get wound up and tied together. That's kind of like not magic.
No.
If you could be a rat king. It's called a rat king. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So if you could harness that energy, that feral energy, I think that you could do a lot.
Do you feel the stare?
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's yours? What's your last one?
Okay.
Is it crocheting? Oh, sorry. Is it knitting? No.
It could be knitting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, no, but it's crocheting.
I personally crochet.
Yeah.
And I crochet a lot for not magic. So the spell stuffies that I make, obviously, yes, inside of them, they have a spell sachet, which has herbs and crystals in it. But as I crochet, I can put intention within every stitch.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so literally the whole thing is a spell.
I love that.
I do too.
Nice.
There you go. Not magic.
Yeah. That's fabulous.
Okay. Are you ready for correspondences?
Yep.
Give me a dice roll. Looks like we're in plants today.
It's a 5.
A 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Apparently, we are also carnation.
Carnation breakfast drink.
Carnation, like my dad's favorite flower.
Okay. Or a good way to start off your morning.
Mm.
Isn't that the flower of morning?
No.
Carnation. What are carnations?
Also commonly referred to as trash flowers because they're like 25 cents. Do you know like when you're in like middle school and high school and they do the like Valentine's and people send flowers to each other? It's usually carnations because they're easy to get.
Huh.
I like carnations, by the way. I know I just referred to it as trash flower. I do not believe that.
What colors are they?
Lots of colors. Because, all of them? Well, so naturally you're going to see pinks, reds, and whites.
Okay.
But they also die really easily, so you'll find lots of colors. Oh, I think
dye, D-Y-E.
Yes.
Die easily.
Oh, but they last a really long time. Yeah. They're one of my favorite flowers to put on the altar because I can buy them, and then like 2 weeks later, I still have flowers.
Huh. Look at you. So money conscious. I don't know anything about carnations other than they're easily dyeable, and they don't die.
So just give me some words.
Petally. Centrific. pretty. trash flowers. I'm guessing they're abundant, they're easy to grow, they're hard to kill. They're resilient.
Probably. Probably like abundance, friendship, probably love is added in there.
They're lovey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What does it actually say?
Carnations. So they have, their three options are pink, red, and white.
Pink.
But, well, pink is...
like a nice rosé.
Friendship, marriage, purity, relationships.
Purity is pink? Wouldn't white be purity?
White is innocence, magic for the moon and the other world.
But oh, overall, the moon.
It has authority, awareness, balance, fertility, truth, well-being, harmony, healing, communication.
I didn't say any of those words.
I feel like it's just like a catch-all. It's the rosemary of flowers.
Yeah, I don't know what a carnation is, clearly. That's cool.
Anyways, nice. You got a fact for us?
Yeah, so we just bought a new dog leash for our dog.
No, we didn't.
We just bought a new rope that we're using as a dog leash for our dog.
Not magic.
Yeah, see? So I had to tie... we weren't talking about Not Magic at that point, but I'm sure that's why Zoe brought up Not Magic, because I was tying knots. But I was looking up good knots to tie so that I could make like a handle and then put the little dog clip on the other end. And apparently, your... social media is full of Not Magic stuff. Mine is full of not salesman people or rope salesman people. So I guess there is the parallel there. But there is this one, I guess, company, I guess, that sells ropes, okay. Right? And they're talking about the strongest knots, the best knots to use for their ropes. And they're talking about how a rope breaks, and it will always break right at the knot. Because that's the weakest part, because as you tie a knot, so before you tie a knot, every strand of the rope is holding equally on the weight or the tension.
Okay.
But as soon as you tie a knot into the rope, now you've created portions that have more tension than others just by the way that you bend the rope, okay. And then it cinches down. So not all of the strands are pulling or holding the weight equally. So that's why it usually breaks at a knot. That's it. I thought that was interesting. It makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
But I just didn't know why. Hmm. Then they drew a picture. Then it made sense. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so interesting. That was going to be my fun fact before I knew that you were doing Not Magic today.
Woo!
Yeah.
Look at us. On the same wavelength.
Yeah. I think it's because Google's recommending the same thing since we live in the same house.
No.
Yeah, they're harvesting our data.
Okay.
It's called targeted ads. Anyway.
I will see you guys next week. We'll both see you.
I won't see any of them.
We will talk to you guys.
We'll be here next week.
With our mini-sode where we'll do something fun. I think we're going to play a game.
Maybe we'll tie knots.
No, we're going to play a game.
Monopoly.
Anyways.
Tune in.
See you guys later.
Later, bye. Gator.